So Arjuna's responding to Krishna by giving explanations of why he should not fight. So here is one of the explanations. I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in the battle. Nor can I, dear Krishna, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. Without knowing that oneself is Vishnu or Krishna, conditioned souls are attracted by body relations, hoping to be happy in such situations. In such a blind conception of life, they even forget the cause of material happiness. Arjuna appeared to have even forgotten the moral codes of Kshatriya. It is said that two kinds of men, namely the Kshatriyas, who die directly in front of the battlefield under Krishna's personal orders, and the person that renounced the order of life who is absolutely devoted to spiritual culture, are eligible to enter into the sun gold, which is so powerful and dazzling. Arjuna is reluctant even to kill his enemies, let alone his relatives. He thinks that by killing his kinsmen there will be no happiness in this life, and therefore he is not willing to fight, just as a person who does not feel hunger is not inclined to cook. He has now decided to go into the forest and live a secluded life in frustration. But as a Kshatriya, he requires a kingdom for his subsistence, because the Kshatriyas cannot engage themselves in any other occupation. But Arjuna has no kingdom. Arjuna's sole opportunity for gaining a kingdom lies in fighting with his cousins and brothers and reclaiming the kingdom inherited from his father, which he does not like to do. Therefore, he considers himself fit to go to the forest to live a secluded life of frustration. Om agyan timirandasya girajana salakaya chaksu unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swam padatikam shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shri vasari gaur bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Arjuna is asked to do a very difficult service in that he is asked to fight against those persons who he's grown up with, who he loves, who he has affection for, who he learned from. And now he's not able to do that. Although he's in the position of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya, Kshat means harm and Triya means to protect from. So he has an occupation to give protection for those who require protection. And it says that there are five types of people who always require protection. Brahmanas, cows, women, children, and old people. These persons are what we could say should never be exploited or misused. If one does, one incurs great sinful reactions like that. So basically, a Kshatriya has to protect the innocent by defending them from aggressors or people who want to exploit them for some reason or other. But he's ready to do his service, but he has one main problem. He's inclined to fight because that is his nature. As Prabhupada says, a Kshatriya cannot do any other occupation. A real Kshatriya, today we don't find real Kshatriyas, we find people who have that attitude of fighting. But a Kshatriya is not one as an aggressor, but a protector. There's a difference. A person who has a fighting spirit doesn't necessarily is a Kshatriya. But one who has the fighting spirit in order to protect those who require protection, that is a real Kshatriya. And that nature is inborn, as Krishna says in another place in the Gita. Four types of people are created by me: the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Sudras. So everyone has a particular nature, and that nature is inborn. But in this age, because of the quality of the age, people's natures are covered by a strong material covering, or the effects of this age creates a covering that people don't know what is their actual nature. So therefore it requires training to bring out that nature. But Kshatriyas, as we see here, they are geared up to do that. They do three things: PAW, protection, administration, and welfare. That is the nature of a Kshatriya. They're good organizers. They protect those who take shelter of them, who work under them, and they give charity to people in general. That is their three main occupations. Now Arjuna is ready with full enthusiasm to do his service according to his nature, but he has a problem. Problem is that on the other side are people who he grew up with, who he loves very much, who are dear to him, and he can't see any reason why he should fight. And he says, even if we win, how can we be happy on the victory caused by sufferings of others? In other words, even if I win the kingdom, I won't be happy, because these people are very dear to me. But Krishna is rejecting all of his arguments. Why? Because Krishna has a particular mission. He wants to establish righteousness in the world. Pravitranayam sadunam vinasanaya chaduskatam dharma samstarpanartaya sambhugami yuge yuge. Krishna comes to destroy irreligion and to re-establish religious principles. That is his mission when he comes to the world. And so he uses his devotees, those who are fully devoted to him, to be his instrument in establishing religious principles. Even today we see that Krishna hasn't personally come, but he sends his representatives and those who work fully under his representatives to do his mission in the world. So that is Krishna's way of doing things, but sometimes he comes personally. So 5,000 years ago, he was personally present to help reestablish real religion and the teachings that are based on real religion as a foundation for the future generations that had been lost due to the course of time. So now we go back to Arjuna's dilemma. Can you put yourself in that position? It's a very difficult position to be in. The Supreme Lord is asking you to do something, and what he's asking you to do is practically impossible. To fight against those you love, or those you at least revere and have respect and gratitude for them, because some of them were his teachers who gave him so much in his life. It's a difficult situation to be in. But Bhagavad Gita is based on the ultimate principle of surrender to the Lord. That surrender to the Lord supersedes or is more glorious and more, fulfilling than following one's moral and religious codes. Krishna does not go against morality or religious principles, but in this particular case, the situation seems to be very impossible. You could use the word impossible. But Krishna knows that Arjuna can do it because he is the devotee of the Lord. He has surrendered his life to the Lord. But Arjuna is putting forth arguments. Even if we win, how can I be happy? How can we enjoy the kingdom simply on killing our relatives and friends. It's better to go to the forest and meditate. But Prabhupada makes the point that if he does accept that, he will simply live a life of frustration. It's not his nature, and at the same time, it's not the instructions of the Lord. So what is the highest religious principle? Sometimes we say, there are so many religious principles. What is the highest religious principle? To obey the instructions of the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants for you, that becomes your success in life, one of the highest religious principles. We may want to do so many things. We may want to serve this way or do that way, and that's nice. And that is also acceptable. But higher than that, as they say in the Christian tradition, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, what I want is not so important. What you want is my success in life. So, now that's a hard position to come to, because it means giving up what we think is best for ourselves and accepting the Lord's instruction, which will bring us to a higher state of consciousness. Because when Krishna is pleased, and how is he pleased? By two things. When we follow his instructions and we carry it out with enthusiasm. Sometimes we can follow the instructions, but we don't have the enthusiasm behind it. In other words, we just do it in a mechanical way, or we just do it because we have to do it. That's not against religious principles, but it won't awaken bhakti. Bhakti is awakened when we are enthusiastically accepting the instructions of the Lord and eager to carry it out. That's bhakti. So Krishna is trying to bring Arjuna to that state. And the whole Bhagavad Gita is actually all about bringing Arjuna to that state where he is not only not wanting to fight, but he's eager to fight. And this is the whole treatise of Bhagavad Gita, and takes it from one stage to another. Arjuna is asking questions, Krishna is responding to the questions. And at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, now I am ready to fight on your behalf. There is no more doubts in my mind. I'm free from all doubts. I'm enthusiastic. So in our practice of Krishna consciousness, we may have doubts on how to carry out the instructions of the spiritual master, or even we may even not want to be able to carry out the instructions. Therefore, what do? We ask questions. We get our doubts clarified. We present the questions and understand how these answers can remove. Because it says in the Bhagavad Gita in the end of the fourth chapter, for the doubting soul, there's neither happiness in this world or in the next. Arjuna's doubting whether he should fight. Therefore, if he doesn't fight, Prabhupada said, the only thing he can accept is frustration. So when we doubt the instructions of the Lord, which comes through the instructions of the spiritual master, we find ourselves unable to make a spiritual advancement. Because the whole process of bhakti comes from the word discipline. Discipline, the word disciple comes from the word discipline. Discipline means to follow the instructions of the Lord. Why is it difficult? Because we don't have faith. And faith is the basic principle of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Faith takes a while to develop. How does faith develop? By associating with people who are faithful and by chanting the holy names of the Lord and by understanding the process of bhakti. As we get to know the Lord, we can understand that we can develop faith in whatever the Lord wants for us. So you might say, well, that's not a problem, but I don't have faith in the Lord's representative. So I have faith in the Lord, but I don't have the Lord's representative. But the Lord's representative is also acting on behalf of the Lord. Otherwise, that person is not a representative. So one who is in the position to represent the Lord speaks on behalf of the Lord, and their instructions are as the same as the Lord. There's no difference. But to carry out those instructions, sometimes we need clarification in order to remove our doubts so we can become enthusiastic in our devotional service. Because this is what Arjuna will go through. He'll gradually, his doubts will gradually dissipate, and finally he has no more doubts. And then he starts to see the reason why he should fight. He becomes enthusiastic, and now he is eager to fight. And that is bhakti. Bhakti must come from the heart, that we have to be eager for Krishna consciousness. Without that eagerness, you can't taste the happiness of Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, get your doubts removed by asking questions, and then become fixed on the path of devotional service. You won't be asked to kill your relatives. Don't worry about that. That's not the process. But we'll be asked to give up things that we think are good for us, which are our attachments to the material world. And we'll be asked to chant the holy names of the Lord and engage in practical devotional service. So these are simple processes, but sometimes they become very difficult. Why? Bhakti is this simple. Bhakti is very simple. You just follow the instructions of God, coming through his spiritual master, you chant the holy names, follow the process. But why is it so difficult? Why? Because we still are looking to the material world for happiness. And still looking out there thinking that if I can just get this or do this or arrange this, then my life will be better. So that looking away or towards the material energy for satisfaction and happiness destroys the enthusiasm which is required in order to perform devotional service. So it's not a disqualification, but it's something that has to be removed in due course of time, our attachment to this material world. We cannot make a spiritual advancement as long as we're trying to be happy by material. So Arjuna is looking in the same way. He's thinking, I'll be unhappy if I fight. He's attached. He's attached to the bodily concept of life. Krishna says in the very beginning of the second chapter, in verse number 11, this is after Arjuna gives all his argument. Krishna is very patient. He listens to everything Arjuna says. He doesn't say anything. Then before the Lord speaks, he says something interesting. He says, Asocham anvasocham cha tvam pratyavadam cha bhasyase katasum zakudasum shavnona sochi panditaha. He says, while speaking learned words, he says, Arjuna, you're speaking learned words. That is very nice. You are still mourning for that which is not worthy of grief. You're lamenting on the bodily concept. Those who lament those who are wise, those who are actually lament neither for the living or the dead. So what is he saying? He says, nice arguments, Arjuna, but I think you're a fool. That's basically what he says. Your words are placed very nicely, but they're all in the wrong direction. All in the wrong direction. So his attachment to the body and bodily relationships causes him bewilderment, and that bewilderment causes him not to follow the instructions of the Lord. So if we find ourselves, and we do find ourselves in these situations, we have to do the same thing Arjuna did. He didn't give up on asking questions. He wanted to know more. He realized that what he was doing was not right, but still he was attached. So he asked questions, and Krishna very carefully and very systematically answered all his questions and gave examples for the answers. And after 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, I think it's the end of the 18th chapter, I'm not sure which verse it is, but it's, he said, Let me see if I can find that. I think it's right at the very end. Okay. Krishna says to him, O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, have you heard this with attentive mind, what I've said? And are your ignorance and illusions are now dispelled? Arjuna says, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and prepared to act according to your instructions. Thus, I have heard the conversation. Now, this is the next verse. Okay. So what is he saying? Yes. Krishna says, all right, I gave you everything. What are you going to do? And Arjuna says, I'm ready. I'm convinced. There's no more doubt. Whatever your instruction becomes my goal in life. So that is bhakti. Bhakti means to accept the instructions of the Lord as our goal in life. And there's a verse in the Upanishads, Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir, Yata Devi Tata Guru, Tasyaita Patite Karta, Prakasanata Mahatmanaha. One who has implicit, the word is implicit, faith in both Guru and Krishna, all the knowledge, or all the imports of all Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed through the heart. In other words, that faith brings about complete knowledge. This is how transcendental knowledge works. We can study books, and we can try to learn all the verses, but until we actually apply them with faith in action, we don't really go deep into the process of devotional service. Therefore, this verse illustrates that if you have that faith in Krishna and Guru, then you have attained full knowledge. You have reached perfection of knowledge. You have achieved ananta, or the end of all knowledge, like that. So that's why Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Arjuna is placed in the situation to teach us. One is the process that complete faith and complete absorption in the instructions of the spiritual master, who is the representative of Krishna, brings about success in the process of devotional service. Okay, and don't worry, Krishna won't ask you to kill your relatives. We can pretty much guarantee that. And so, but we will be challenged. You should know that to make advancement in spiritual life, you have to give up things you don't want to give up. It's just the way it is. And that's called purification of heart. So we have our attachments, we have our desires, we have our plans in life. But Krishna said, somebody used to say, sometimes this is just like a cliche, but it has some meaning, that if you want to make Krishna laugh, tell him your plans. If you want to make Krishna laugh, tell him your plans. In other words, not mine, not my will, but thine be done. So when we have that mood, we are on the path of perfection. Whatever Krishna wants. And it's easy. But that easiness comes by when we develop faith in the Lord and faith in the process of bhakti. You might say, all right, I have faith in the Lord. I have faith in the process of bhakti. But I don't have my faith in myself that I can do it. Does that question come up sometimes? You know, everything you say is nice, but I'm too fallen. I'm too attached. I'm too material. You know, I just can't do it. But the idea is that you can't do it. You're right. But with Krishna's mercy, you can. Mukham karoti vachalam pango lagite giri yad kripa tanaham bande shiguru dinatarinam. That one who has faith, complete faith, in the words of the spiritual master, a blind man can see the stars, a deaf man can recite beautiful poetry, a layman can climb mountains. So one can overcome all material obstacles by complete faith in the words of the spiritual master. It is possible, and it is doable, and it's being done even today. So we have to be serious in Krishna consciousness to take what does Krishna want from me and how best can I execute that order. And then you're on your way to perfection. Okay, any questions, comments, or anything else? Challenges? No challenges?
There is always the Maharaj, the difficulty of sort of putting together Arjuna's, you know, his arguments were in one sense to take up spiritual life, you know, go deep in a spiritual life and abandon the world. And at times it's difficult to understand how Krishna will not encourage that. So there's always, you know, has been the difficulty of common people and devotees. Sometimes we face a difficulty that, you know, the choice that you have to make, what is the right thing for you? And in one sense to disregard certain duties that you have for the sake of following some spirituality, but, you know, without proper understanding.
You have to take shelter of a spiritual master and get guidance from the spiritual master is Krishna's representative. And therefore, you can know that that guidance is perfect if you follow it. Even if the guidance is not perfect in a practical sense, but because you follow the principle, you will reach perfection. Even if it's not, it always is ultimately the best, because the spiritual master is empowered by Krishna to do the work of Krishna. He has that empowerment. That's his main, what we say, quality. It's like someone asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, do you know everything?" Jai Sri Sri Kishore Kishore Ki Jai. Someone asked Prabhupada, "Do you know everything?" And Prabhupada's response was, "I know what I need to know." I know what I need to know. What is the basis of that answer? I know how to guide my disciples. I know how to give that knowledge. In other words, that's his service. Spiritual master knows his service. And Krishna empowers him to do that service because he surrendered to Krishna. So if we have that faith, then we can easily accept the guidance as perfection. And when we act upon it, you can't see ahead of time what will be the results. If you were able to see ahead of time, then you would be as good as Krishna. But you get the instructions, and then when you execute the instructions, the results show you that this is the best. It takes faith. But still, life is based on developing faith, because everything we do has an element of faith attached to it. We get married and we think, oh, this will bring happiness, this will be success in life. So we enter into that relationship with the element of faith. But we test that faith before we actually make the vow. So in the same way, that testing can be also there. You take time, you take shelter of the spiritual master, and you inquire. You ask questions. You see the answers, and you try to carry out the instructions. You test. And then finally, when you're convinced, then you can take initiation like that. So no one is forced, but everyone should follow the process. And the process is Tadviri Paripatena Paripasyena Sevaya Upadeksyanti Te Gyanam Gyanina Tasvadarshana. Krishna says, just approach my bona fide representative, inquire submissively, and render service. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge. Why? Because he has seen the truth. So, pratipatena, pariprasyena, sevaya. Three things. Submissive, inquiry, with a desire for seva, service. These three things is how you approach the spiritual master. We do that, and then we open the door to transcendental knowledge like that. Not like we ask the spiritual master and then we argue with him and discuss it. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Because we have to accept knowledge from higher authority. Knowledge comes down, it's not coming up. There is two types of knowledge. What is that called? When it comes down, comes up, Aroha Panta and Avaroha Panta. Aroha means going up, Avaroha means coming down. So Aroha means I have some knowledge, I have some experience, I formulate my understanding based on that, and then I act. That's Aroha. Avaroha means I hear from Krishna's representative, I get the knowledge, and I act. Knowledge is coming down. And so perfect knowledge comes from the perfect source. That's easy. We know that. If you want to learn something, you go to someone who knows. So bhakti is a science. And that science is given to the spiritual master by Krishna. We use a little cliche. He knows the way, he goes the way, he shows the way. He knows the way, he's going the way, and he can show you the way. So if we have that faith, then we can begin making spiritual advancement. So we may not have that faith, therefore test. Keep testing. Keep asking questions. Get your doubts removed. Arjuna didn't give up. He didn't say, well, I believe this, therefore I'm going to go away. He expressed his doubts to Krishna, and Krishna listened, and gradually Krishna gave the answers. Any other questions? Okay, who's not convinced? Now, if you don't ask a question, there's two things. Either you're convinced or you don't know what to ask. So which one should I conclude? Everyone's convinced, right? Let's hear the doubts. Okay, I tried.
You can have the Arctic now also.
Time for Arctic? Okay. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. His Holiness Chandramouli Swami ki jai. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine.